Today's shiur is Masech Davar Dazar Daf Mem. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, Trishen Trufa. The Mishnah, in identifying different foods that may be eaten, so one of the foods that was identified was Trishen Trufa, fish that's not chopped up, so we're able to tell the fish. So the Gemara elaborates, Tanur Rabbanan, Ezer Trishen Trufa, what is considered Tris she'ena trufa that is permissible to be eaten. Kol shorosh v'shidra nikar, wherever you could see the head and the spine of the fish, so then there's no concern that that fish is a not kosher fish because we're able to tell the fish. So Rashi explains that one of the ways to be able to determine a kosher fish versus a non kosher fish is by looking at the head. The head of a non-kosher fish is pointy, and the kosher fish and doesn't have a spine, whereas a kosher fish does. That so, of course, the Mefarshim all ask that we know, as the Torah teaches us, that what is the sign of a kosher fish? The sign of a kosher fish is based on snapper viscascasis, the fins and scales. And here, we're learning something altogether new. So some explain that the kaskasim, this that we look at the scales, are interestingly, in a case where the fish doesn't look like a kosher fish, based on what we just learned, still, if they have scales, it's going to be considered a kosher fish. Others say they were talking about only certain types of fish. Kaskasim, fins and scales, are a good sign by all fish. And here we're talking about certain fish that won't necessarily represent a sign of a kosher fish. There are other explanations. Some say that the reason we have to look particularly for the fins and scales, because these simonim, about the spine, for example, the Beis Yosef says there are non-kosher fish that have spine, but snapper v'kaskasas is universal. Another explanation is what the Papul Charifta suggests. The Papul Charifta suggests that we look at these signs that we're learning in our Mishnah is in fish that was salted. And fish that are salted, very often, they're not going to have any more the snapper v'kaskasas. The scales come up off during the salting process. That's why we have to use this. Another explanation that Taz says, there's a difference between fish that the head has been cut off, then we have to rely on the snapper kaskasas. Otherwise, we could rely on this on the sign of the head. Another explanation that this is the shach suggests is Agamar speaking when a whole barrel of fish was brought, and if we have a whole barrel of fish, sometimes it's difficult to examine every fish. We can rely on this sign. So again, Ezer Trish Shein Atrufa Kosh Shirosh V'Shedra Nikar. When we could tell the head and the spine, then we know that these are kosher fish. Ezer Tzir Shesh Be'Doga. The Mishnah said that tzir, fish sauce that has doga, is considered fine. What does that mean? It says the Gemara, Kol Shep Kilbis Aches Oishtei Kilbis Shait V'Spa. As long as you have one or two kilbis fish swimming there, and once you have one or two kilbis fish floating there, that's a proof that it's a kosher fish sauce. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that the kilbis is actually a non-kosher fish. And where Rashi explains is that although the kilbis is a non-kosher fish, what happens is, suggests Rashi, is that they can only survive in kosher fish sauce. So the fact that we have here this kilbas fish swimming is a proof that it's a kosher fish sauce. The Ramban uses very sharp words on Rashi's pshat. Ramban says that what Rashi says are divrei nevius, that it doesn't make, and as the Ritva says, it doesn't make any sense that kosher fish sauce has non-kosher fish, is a proof that it's kosher. And therefore, they explain that the Rambam, Rabbeinu Chananel, both explain that the kilbis is actually a kosher fish. And what it means is that if the fish sauce or has only fish, kosher fish swimming there, that is a proof that it's kosher fish. That's kosher fish sauce. That's one approach. Another approach that some Rishonim suggest is that fish don't grow in fish sauce. And since fish don't grow in fish sauce, that the fish sauce doesn't prove anything. Rather, the way to understand they suggest is that the expert fish sauce producers would put a fish into the fish sauce to show that what type of fish was this fish sauce produced from. And therefore, since they also say that it's only an issa d'rabbanan, because it's the sauce, it's not the actual fish. And when we combine all of these considerations, and these are experts that don't want to ruin their reputation, that's why we could use the fish sauce that has the kosher fish swimming there as a proof that it was manufactured from kosher fish sauce. Says the Gemara, but going further and understanding what the Brisa just said, ask the Gemara, Hashta, now that we've determined that kilbas achas amrit shari, that if it just has one of these fish swimming there, it's going to be kosher, no matter what pshat we learn with, shtei kilbis v'bayi, so why does it speak about two? If one is sufficient as a proof, two should certainly be, why does it necessarily have two? Answers the Gemara loikasha. The Brisa is speaking about two different types of situations. Kan b'psuchas, if we have an open barrel, and therefore we have to be concerned that how did this fish end up there, so therefore we're going to need two. Kan b'stumas, but it was a closed barrel, so that it's much less of a concern, and since it's much less of a concern, there we could rely even on one fish. Itmar Rav Huna Omer, achtei roish v'shedra nikar. But Rav Huna, going back to what we discussed earlier in our shiur, says we cannot rely on just this alone to prove that it's kosher. We also have to have a sign that the fish is kosher, because that's the way we'll know it's kosher fish. Rav Nachman Amar, so Rav Huna's opinion was that what is a definitive proof that this is a kosher fish? When you have both simon. Rav Nachman Amar, he holds oy roish oy shedra. You don't have to have both. Just having one of the two signs is also a proof that this is a kosher fish. Maser v'okim v'choma. So he asks, the Mishnah in Masech Tachun says, u'bedogim, when we speak about fish, what are the simonim of a kosher fish? Kosher shloi snapper v'kaskesis. So isn't that a proof that those are the only signs of a kosher fish, not anything else? Answers the Gemara, Amabai Kitanihi. When was that talked about? Ba'aro u'palmudai. That the fish of Aram Palmuda could only be identified that way. The Damar Shaila Tmeim, as we mentioned earlier, these are fish that if we look at the head of those fish actually looks like a non-kosher fish. So if we're going to rely on the head, we're going to end up saying that it's a non-kosher fish. But what the reality is they are kosher fish, and the reason that they're kosher fish is because that they have the snapper, is because they have the snapper vikas. The Ritva says, the Ritva says that a much more fundamental pshat. He says that indeed, as the pasuk indicates, what is the proof that a fish is kosher? The proof that a fish is kosher is the snap of a kaskesis. That's the only real proof that a fish is kosher. But says the Ritva, they determined that every fish that has snap of a kaskesis also has these different signs. So what the Gemara means to say is that once we know that we have a kosher fish, then we could Chazal taught us that this is the way all kosher fish look, and once Chazal taught us that this is the way all kosher fish look, we don't need to have. We could rely on this and not have to start examining for the snap of a kaskesis. But actually, what makes the fish kosher? What does make the fish kosher is the snap of a kaskesis, nothing else. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmei Deula Machloikis. The machloikis that we just learned. What is the determining factor? Do you have to have the head and the spine? Machloikis. That's only b'tavo b'tziburim b'tziron. If we want to use the fish sauce, avo b'gufon. When it comes to the actual fish that we want to eat, the reakol usser. We can't. Everybody will agree that just one simen alone will be insufficient, and we have to have, if we want to rely on it, then you have to have Rosh v'shidra nekar, you have to have both the proofs through the head and through the spine. And the Rishonim debate, why is there a difference between the fish sauce versus the fish? Tosfos says that fish sauce, if we know the fish sauce is kosher fish sauce, we know that somebody who's selling kosher fish sauce, it's primarily kosher fish sauce. The entire concern is that they might have mixed in some non-kosher fish sauce. And there, that non-kosher fish sauce is certainly going to be bottle barov. And since it's certainly going to be bottle barov, me'ikar hadin, we may consume that fish sauce. But when we talk about the fish, when we talk about the actual fish, there we can't rely on bittel, because a fish, a whole fish, is a barrier. And since a whole fish is a barrier, we know that halacha is that a barrier is never bottle beroiv. And therefore, there we're going to have to be much more confident about the kashrus of all the fish. Other Rishonim, the Raiva, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Rosh, the Ritva, and the Ran, have a different approach. Their approach is that sir hadagim, the fish sauce, even though it comes from a fish, and of course we have to know if it came from a kosher fish or a non-kosher fish, is only osur midrabanan. Fish sauce, they say, is only osur midrabanan. Whereas the fish itself, if it's a non-kosher fish, is osur midaraisa. And he says, they say that's exactly what our Gemara is teaching us. The Al Gemara is teaching us that fish sauce is not considered actually a part of the fish. Fish sauce is considered zeya ba'alma. And since they use this new terminology of zeya ba'alma is only osur midrabanan. And actually, if we look in Shulchan Aruch Yeridei is Simen Pei Gimel Sif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that sheer Tzir Dogim Temeim Isurim Midrabonim. But the many Paiskim, the Shach in particular, says there's a difference between two different types of Tzir. There's Tzir that comes out through salting the fish, and there's Tzir that comes out by cooking the fish. He says Tzir that comes out by salting the fish is Osur Midrabonim. But tzir that comes out from the fish itself by cooking the fish is also midaraisa. And the Noida Behuda disagrees, and the Noida Behuda says that even if it comes out through kvisha, it's only also midarabonim. But that's the way they understand why our Gemara is more lenient with the fish sauce versus with the actual fish. Amar Rav Zeira Mireish. Before I heard what Ula just taught us, have a mitbilna b'tzira, I would put my bread in and dip my bread into fish sauce that only had one simon, because I thought that even though Rav Huna says that you need to have two simonim, but I thought that the halacha is that Rav Huna agrees that by fish sauce, one simon is adequate. However, given the Shemad al-Hadam Rav Yudim Shmeid Ula, Machloikis L'Tabal B'Tziron, that the Machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman is only regarding fish sauce. Av B'Gufim, when we talk about the actual fish, Divrei Hakol, everybody will agree, Osu Shei Roshu V'Shidra Nikar, everybody will agree that you have to have the two simonim. So according to Rav Huna, you're not allowed to even use fish sauce unless the fish had two simonim. So now I stopped, but Tzira Namila Matbilna, I don't even dip into fish sauce unless the fish had both simonim. Amar Papa, and Rapapa says, Hilchsa Dalocha indeed is, if the fish is not mutter, Ache Roisha V'Shidra Nikar, until you have both the head and the spine. And not only that, but he goes a step further. He says, you have to have Shekolach Svachas. You have to examine each fish separately. And only when you inspect each fish separately, that and then only then can we rely that the fish is kosher. The fact that there are some kosher fish is not enough to make the other fish kosher. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Chaticha Shesh by Simon, if there are pieces of fish that have the simonim to prove they're kosher, Bein Bekul and Bein Mektosun, whether all of them are kosher, whether all of them have the simonim, or whether only some of them have it, even if one out of 100, the halach is kulam mataris, and the Gemara tells us, he brought a whole barrel full of fish, and one of them had a sim that it's kosher, so we see that you don't have to inspect every fish separately, answers the Gemara, then all the pieces look the same. When all the pieces look the same, and the way the Rishonim explained that all the pieces look the same, that if we take these pieces and we try to put together a whole fish, then it looks like all these pieces come from the same fish. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, it's obvious that it's all from one fish. And if we know that one piece of that fish is kosher, it's going to be clearly an indication that the entire fish is kosher. Answers the Gemara, Meina Tema Nechesh Dilmi Misrami, that maybe this piece that we're looking at that doesn't have any simonim of a kosher fish happens to fit perfectly in with the other fish, but it's not really part of that fish, and therefore it should not be an indication that it's all from the same fish. Kamash Malon, the Gemara tells us, we need not be concerned about that. So we just learned that if it looks like it's all from one fish, then we could eat from it. The Shulchan Aruch says that if one finds several slices of fish which fit all together, it can be assumed that all the slices are from the same fish, and therefore, even if only one of the slices has scaled, we could eat the entire fish. The Bach says that in addition, he says that that's what Rashi holds, that in addition, that the slices should fit together, it's also essential that when you put them all together, it looks like one big fish. He says one has to check that all the slices are comparable in appearance, and that when they put them next to each other, they look like they came from one fish. But if, for example, all the slices, when they're put together, form an abnormally large fish, the fish that normally is not that big, then we can't assume that all the slices are from the same fish and be able to eat all the slices, even those that don't have the simonim. The halacha is that if somebody slaughters several sheep, and he discovers that one of them is a treifa. Each of the sheep is prohibited because we have a suffix that we don't know. This treifa was in the head, and we don't know which one is the body that's attached, that's connected to that head. And unless we have a way of being able to verify which body belongs to that head, we can't eat any of those sheep. The Shulchan Aruch, based on our Gemara, says that if the wounded head, the head that's a treifa, fits perfectly on top of one of these sheep, we could assume that that is the sheep that's treifa, and we could eat the other sheep. However, says the Taz, that the sefer Isser v'heter is reluctant to rely on this heter in the case of a suffix treifa. He says, we are not such experts in being able to analyze that this head belongs to this body, and unless it's very, very obvious that that is the case, we cannot be lenient. The Derech Teshuva quotes the Sefer Yad Yehuda, says that this is only this in a case where some of the sheep are no longer here or have cut into pieces, and we can't match it to a head. So that case, says the Yad Yehuda, even though the head that we have looks like it's a perfect match with a body that we have, we can't be sure, because if all the other sheep were here, maybe we would have seen or found a better match. And therefore, just to say the fact that this head and body seem to go together is not enough of a proof to be lenient. But, says the Yad Yehuda, where we have all of the sheep that were slaughtered here in front of us, and we put the head that we're discussing on top of all the other sheep, and it doesn't fit on top of any of the other sheep, it only fits perfectly on top of this sheep, that is an indication that it belongs to this body, and everybody would agree, even this of a heter, that we could attach that head to that body and say that that's the non-kosher sheep, and all the other sheep are kosher. Says the Gemara, Hu arba de tzachanta. There was a boat that arrived that had a transport that were bringing these type of fish that are called tzachanta. Dosel a sikra, they came to a place called sikra. Nafka afuna b'chana, he saw that there are scales there, and he allowed the consumption of all of those fish. Asked the Gemara, so the Ran asks a question that here Rashi says that tzachanta is the fish that's called chilek, and asked the Ran that we learned on Daf Lamates in our previous shir that chilek may not be eaten because they used to mix in with the chilek non-kosher fish. So how did he allow the chilek to be eaten? So the Ran answers that here they were written, they were all put salted together. He says, when you salt fish together, kosher fish and non-kosher fish, the non-kosher fish will ruin the kosher fish. And therefore, we can be confident based on that, that all the fish is kosher. Tosfos says that this was a case that they knew that all the fish that they had ordered, that they were receiving, were kosher fish, and wanted to be certain, and that's why this is good enough. Amalei Rava, so Rava asked Rafuna, Omika de Shar de Chai Gavna, is there anybody that's going to say that all the fish can be eaten that way? Basra de Shchicha Kash Kalfi, just because we see some scales in this barrel or wherever, that should not be necessarily proof that all of them are kosher. Nafik Shippur de Rav of Asr, so there was a announcement, and the way they used to make announcements was with a shofar. Like that, people would gather together, and here the announcement that's going to be made, Shippur de Rav Huna b'chenana shari, that there was a shofar, there was a declaration that the fish was mutter by Rav Huna, and the way the Ramban explains what happened was that first Rav Huna bar Chinana issued a declaration that the fish is kosher, and then Rav Huna said that the fish is also. Because the Ramban says that it couldn't be the reverse order, because if there would have been a psak first that the fish is osur, the halacha is chacham she'osur ein chaveru shoy lahater. If one rav issued a psak for the city that it's osur, another rav cannot say that it's mutter. The Ran, however, disagrees with Ramban, and the Ran says that when is the halacha that once a psak le'isr was issued, you can't change that psak? That, says the Ran, is only in a case where everybody up front agreed that it's osur. But in a case where not everybody agreed originally that it's osur, and this rav never held that it was osur, another rav, there was one rav that held it's osur, one rav that held it's mutter. And the rav that held it's osur was the one that made the first declaration that it's osur. Even though he was the one that made the first declaration that it's osur, that doesn't obligate the other rav who held that it was mutter to follow his psak, and therefore, in such a case, the rav that always held its mutter can continue paskening that way. Amar Rav Yemi B'Difti, V'Didi Amali Rav Papa Kashara, Kishara Rav Huna B'Chana, where did Rav Huna B'Chana know? Where was he lenient but siren? Only regarding the fish sauce. Avav Gufin Log. He wasn't lenient regarding the actual fish. And this goes back to what we discussed earlier in our shir, that the halacha differentiates between the actual fish and the fish sauce. Amar Vashli Di Amali Rapapa. Rapapa said, I heard that when Kishara, the Rapapa said that when Chuna Bachinana was lenient, he was lenient, afilu begufa, even on the actual fish, says the Gemara. And Rav Ashi says about himself, Vana loya meser asirna, I won't say that the fish are prohibited from eating. The commonly Rapapa, because Rapapa told me that he heard that the Rav Huna said that the actual fish is mutter. For like Mishra Shirini, on the other hand, not going to say that the fish may be eaten. The Rav Yehuda Mishmei De'ula says that the machloikis of Rav Huna Rav Nachman is only regarding the Tavel B'tziron. Av B'gufon, when we talk about the actual fish, the Rakel, everybody's in agreement. Achei Rosh V'Shedru Nikrish Kolecha V'Echad. Says the, and therefore, I'm not going to issue a psak on this shaila. Says the Gemara, Yosef of Chinana Bar Idi Kameder of Ada Bahav of Yosef of Kamer. Ever Kacham Shehevi Arei Malei Echavius. If a Nachri brought a small boat, and there were a lot of jars of fish sauce, the Nimtzes Kibbutz Ma'achsmahen, and he found a kilbus in one of them, Psuchis, if they're all open, Kula Mataris. And even the other one don't have the kilbus. And as we said earlier in the shir, whatever pshat we find, follow when we speak about kilbus. The kilbus is a proof that the fish is kosher, but says the Gemara now, even a bigger chiddush. As long as one open barrel has a kilbus on it, then it proves that all of them are kosher. However, stumus, if the barrels were closed, so this barrel that has the kilbus in it, he muteris, that barrel of fish sauce will be permitted. The kulan, all the other barrels will be asuris. Amalei, Rav Ada Bar Hava asked Rav Chinana Bar Idi, Mano Lachaha, where do you get this psak from? And he answered, Matrosu Klosh Melech, I heard this psak from three Talmid Chachamim, and once I heard it from three Talmid Chachamim, it has to me the same authority as if it says in the Pasuk, as if it's an explicit Pasuk in the Torah. And who were the Talmid Chacham I heard it from? Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Amar Avunah Amar Rav, Kirvei Dogen Veiburim. The inside of the fish and the fish eggs, Ein Chacham Elman Mumcha, may only be bought from a mumcha that is able to determine if it's kosher or not kosher. When we speak about a mumcha in this Gemara, there's a discussion, who is a mumcha? The Rashi explains that the definition of a mumcha is somebody who is an expert in fish, and he's able to say which is a kosher fish and which is a non-kosher fish. The Ramban says that it's not dependent on a person's expertise, but rather the Ramban says that it depends on a person's trustworthiness. We have to buy it from a person who's neman, that could be trusted, that what he's saying is honest. Because, as the Ramban goes on to explain, if people don't have that level of namanus, we always have to be concerned that that person is saying something which is not true. He bought non-kosher fish sauce, and he's saying that it's kosher in order to be able to sell it to people who worry about kashrus. Ramele Ular of Destoy B'dimin Biri. Midakamarav Kivri Dagan V'Burim. Since he spoke about the inside of the fish, the fish eggs, so what is this clearly indicating? Miklal, the dog tummy is leuber, that non-kosher fish have fish eggs, and therefore you need to know for sure that the fish eggs that you're getting are kosher. Vermini asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, dag tummy mashritz, the dag tummy matel bayim, the non-kosher fish has small fish, and a kosher fish has fish eggs. So isn't that a proof that non-kosher fish don't have fish eggs? If non-kosher fish don't have fish eggs, as soon as I see a fish egg, I'll know that it must have come from a kosher fish, says the Gemara. Sami Mekanovran, based on this fact, that if you see fish eggs, it's an indication it must have come from a kosher fish. So therefore, we don't need to have all of these guarantees when we buy fish eggs. Amalei Rav Zeira, loitisme, don't take out. Tavayu, because actually both kosher fish and non-kosher fish, mitila beininu, have fish eggs. The difference is, el shazaya mashus mebuchutz, the kosher fish deposit has the eggs exit the body of the fish, and then they hatch into fish. The eggs hatch inside the body of the fish. Says the Gemara, Lomeli Mumcha. Says the Gemara, but why do we have to go through its entire process? Livdik b'simonim. Why should we just check the eggs itself? The Tanya, k'simoni beyim, kach simoni dogim. Just like kosher fish have, as we've been discussing in our shiur, very distinct simonim, what is kosher and what is not kosher, so too is the halacha regarding the eggs. Says the Gemara, simonim dagim sakatat, but the Gemara goes slow. The Gemara says that the eggs presumably have the same simonim as the fish. Says the Gemara, can we say that? Simonim dagim sakatat, simonim dagim, when we speak about a kosher fish, snap of kaskasas sibuhu, of fins and scales. Eggs don't have fins and scales. It says the Gemara, El Kismana Beim, just like the eggs of a kosher bird have simonim, kach simoni buridogim, so too do the eggs of a kosher fish have unique simonim. Veilus simonim beim, kosher kaderis, that when we look at the egg, on one side the egg is wider, and on the other side it's narrower, vegagelis, it's oval, Rosh Echad Kad, one side is wider, Rosh Echad Kad, and the other side is narrower, Tahira, that's a kosher egg, Shnei Roshem Chadin, but if both sides of the egg have a pointy, or Shnei Roshem Kadim, or if both sides are flat, that's Tameya. Chelmein, if the yellow is Mevichutz, the Chelmein, and the white is inside, the chelbam of fnim, temeya. But if chelbam of chutz, if the white is on the outside, the chelbam of fnim, and the yellow is on the inside, tahor. That's a kosher fish. Chelbam of chelbam muravin zebzeh, if the white and the yellow are mixed up together, says the Gemara, zui bay asheretz. That's considered the bay of asheretz, which is obviously kosher. So the Gemara's question is, if fish eggs have simonim, why do we just rely on this simonim? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava was speaking here in a situation, she nimochu, that the fish were, the eggs are not whole, they're dissolved, and therefore we can't rely on the simonim. Ask the Gemara, Ulrab destroyed Biridama Summon Mikan Ubron, because him. He took out the whole concept of fish eggs because he said the non-kosher fish don't have eggs. So why would we have to talk about the simonim of fish eggs when he's saying that fish eggs, the only kosher fish have fish eggs, says the Gemara. Didn't we answer to this brisa? The way to understand what the Gemara means to say is this brisa is clearly not 100% accurate, because the brisa, when we read the words of the brisa, said that the eggs look like the fish. And the Gemara immediately asked that the eggs and the fish obviously don't look like each other. So we had to revise what the brisa says. Says the Gemara, he's going to say, simonim beim kach simonim kirvei dagim, that the fish, the inside of the fish, have simonim like the eggs. But the brisa here is not talking about fish eggs altogether. Why is the brisa not talking about fish eggs? Because we don't have to think about fish eggs. They're always kosher. V'heichem meshkaches, says the Gemara, what does it mean when we speak about simoni kirvei dogim? Says the Gemara, sheikad v'chad, that the have to be flat on one side and sharp on the other side. Says the Gemara, how is that possible? When we speak about the inside of a fish, says the Gemara, "Mishkachsla pishalchufis." There's an air sac inside the fish, and that's the simon of a kosher fish when it has an air sac that's pointy on one side and narrow on the other side. Ask the Gemara, "Im ein shamum chamais." So now that we've identified that there may be simonim for the inside of the fish and for the fish eggs. But we also have said that when they have been dissolved, the halacha is that we can't know that, and therefore we can only buy as the Gemara began with a mumcha. Ask the Gemara, emein shem mumchamai, what is going to be the halacha when there is no mumcha? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, kivin da amar ani malachtem, if the person says that I salted them and they were fine, the halacha is mutarim. Nach amar atshiyoyma elu v'elu dogim. He has to be a little more, he has to be more specific. He has to say, these were the fish, and these were the kreveim. I relay Rabbi Huda love Adab Dayala. He paskin kimed amma ni malachtem. Once he said that I personally was the one that salted them, and I saw that they're kosher, mutarim, that it's good enough. And the Ramban says that somebody who says, ani, the reason why, if somebody says, ani malachtem, is Neman, says the Ramban, because once he makes that statement, and then if he'll be caught that he's saying something which is not true, we'll be able to determine that it's not true, he's scared to be caught, and that keeps him honest. The Ravid says that, and the way to understand the Ravid, the Ani Malachtim, is speaking about a case what I myself salted them, and I myself will eat them. And since he's saying that he himself salted it, and he himself will eat it, that is clearly a proof that this is a kosher fish. And once it's a proof that it's a kosher fish, that's why it's allowed to be eaten. And this has serious repercussions in different areas of halacha. One of the shailos that I saw the Paiskim discuss is regarding shatness. If somebody says, if you go to a store to buy a garment, and the storekeeper tells you, I can guarantee that this garment is not shatness, can he be believed or not? So it really depends on the two pshatim that we just quoted from the Rishonim. If the pshat is that it's something that could be independently verified, that if this person is saying something that's not true, he will be caught. So according to that pshat, here, if this person says, I'm saying that this garment is not shatness, we could believe him because he's fearful to say something which is not true because he could be caught. But according to the other pshat, that
The only time we could believe somebody saying Ani Malachtim is that somebody who himself is observant and says that I would eat it. That's a proof that it's kosher. So then the person who's saying that this garment is not shatness could only be believed if he himself is a religious Jew. If he himself is not personally observant, then it would not be enough to say that it's not shatness. The Chishuk Echemet has this discussion, and he wants to suggest that in a case where it's easily able to be tested, like shatness, where there are people that are able to do the shatness testing, and they could tell us that if there is or isn't any shatness here, he says that that would always be the best, and therefore the halach is that we should do our own testing and not rely on somebody says anim melachtim. The Paiskim also say that when, according to the approach that we're learning here, that it depends on somebody who is an expert, what is the level of expertise? Does he have to be able to identify exactly what type of fish it is? Or as long as he knows that they come from kosher fish, that would be enough of a proof. That would be enough of a proof that it's kosher, not even necessarily knowing all the level of detail. It may be connected, this question may be very much connected to the question that we just discussed, the Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. The Mishnah said that the Ola Shel Chiltus, a leaf of a Chiltus, we could buy from a Nachri, because they don't usually cut it with a knife. As we discussed previously, the concern of the Chiltus is the knife that was used. Here we don't have to be worried with the leaf, because they don't usually cut it with a knife. Says the Gemara Peshitta, if they don't use a knife, then the concern that we've had about Chiltus is not applicable. Says the Gemara Le'nitzcha Le'lekatan Shaba. There are small seeds, Maratema, that Nechesh Dema Maisi Marbe. Maybe he got mixed up that with seeds that came out of the leaf, with seeds that came out of the fruit that was cut with a knife. We could assume that these seeds came from the leaf and they did not come from the actual fruit. We learned in the Mishnah further that we're allowed to eat zeisig luskos hamulgol golem. We're allowed to eat olives that are kept in a barrel, in a round barrel, that get ripened in that barrel. Says the Gemara, Pshita, of course, why should it be asur? Answers the Gemara, lo nitzchal af gav derofet tuva, that the olives are very soft. Maratema, what made them so soft? Chamarambu, we put wine into them, and that's what softened up these olives. Kamash malon, hani makos mishcha derofu, it's the oil that's in the barrel that softens them up. Rabbi Yosemer, shluch nasurim, that we may not buy shluch from the Nachri. Zeisim shluchim may not be bought from a Nachri. Ask the Gemara, heichidam shluchim, exactly what does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, kol she'achsu biyadai, if it's so soft that if you grab the olive, gurinasa neshmetas, that the pit will fall out. We learned further, hachagovim haboim min aslula, asurim min heptik min tarim. If the Nochri is selling grasshoppers from the barrel in front of him, we may not eat it. But if he takes them out of the warehouse, the mutter. Tana abona chagovim, the kafrisim, the shell of the slav fruit, the kaflutis, haboim and oitz that come from the warehouse, umana heptik, where they come from the counter in front of him, umana svina, or from a boat, all of them, mutarim may be eaten. We don't have to be concerned that anybody mixed in wine into them. However, hanam karim bekatluza, if they're sold in the market, lifnei chavonim asurim, anything that is sold in the store that way is asur, nei shemazal fiyayin aleim, they put wine on top of these things. Says the Gemara further, v'chein yayin tepuchim shalav tekechavim, apple wine from a nachri, habayim an oitzer, if they're taken out of a warehouse, umana heptik, umana svinim mutarim, there's no concern that wine is mixed into them, because the wine will only ruin them. Hanimka bekatluza, but what's sold in the store, there we have to be concerned that it's awesome, neshim arvim b'yayin, they want to give it a better taste, so they mix wine into it. Tana banan pamachas chosh Rebbe Meyov, once Rebbe had a stomach ailment, amaklum yesh adam shedeya, yayin tepukum shalav dekachavim, he asked, does anybody know what is the status of apple wine from the Nachrim, Asr or Mutter? Because he knew that that is something that's a refuah. And as the Tfar explains, he wasn't a chayil sheyesh besakana. He was had a stomachache. And when the halacha is that somebody who's not that sick, that is not allowed to eat something that's not kosher. So you want to know what is the status. Pam achas chosh abba emeyov. My father once had a stomach ailment. And they brought him apple wine of the Nachrim, Shalshim Shana, that was 70 years old. And he drank it and he got better. He said, you had this wonderful piece of information, and you never told it to us until the question actually came up. You never told us what the halach is. They found a Nachri, that are 300 barrels of apple wine, Shalshim Shana, that was 70 years old, Vishasa Vinisrapi. And Rebbe drank from it and got better. And at that point, Rebbe made the comment, Baruch HaMakam Shemasa Olam HaLishayimrim. Wonderful is it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the world to Shemrim. So the way the Mashal explains the Gemara is that originally, Adam HaRishon was in Gan Eden, but he was in Gan Eden La'avdai Shamrai. He wasn't able to just work on the fruit, but not able to eat it. He said, what happened is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the world to us now, that not only do we have to watch the food, but we also get the chance to eat the food. And another pshat that I saw is that apples are a delicious fruit, but they felt that apples did not necessarily have any nutritional value. So apples were created in the world that we should have something good to eat. But now what we learn is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that he created in the world is for a very constructive purpose. And that's what he was declaring. There's a real constructive purpose with these apples, because these apples are something that we can now enjoy, that we can not just eat for enjoyment, but they actually bring a refuah. The Mishnah said, V'chein l'truma. Ask him, what does that mean with v'chein l'truma? My v'chein l'truma. Amar Rav Sheshe, v'chein l'koin ha'choshalim k'truma. The koin gets truma. Now, truma obviously is much cheaper than regular fruit, because truma could only be eaten by a koin, and truma can only be eaten by tahara. And the koin, who's dishonest, maybe he's going to sell truma and say it's chulin. Lefanov hu daser. So you're not allowed to buy fruit from him that way, because we have to be concerned about the status of the fruit. Aval abo min ha'oitza, min ha'heptik, min ha'sfina mutar. There's susay mirsis. To take a very large stock of truma and mix it up, to take a large stock of chulin and mix truma in it, and then you'll get caught, and it'll make everything you have no value, that he's fearful to do. Because this person, even though he's unfortunately not that honest, Savor, he always is concerned that Shomim Rabbanan, I may get caught, and if I have this large stack of chulin, that will get ruined. And therefore, with that he won't do, and therefore, Master Minoy, and therefore we could be confident that what came out of the warehouse is that he says is chulin, is truly chulin, with no truma mixed in. Hanu lachem amidin, hanu lachem amidin, hanu lachem amidin.